So chapter 8 this morning, finally going back in order again. This is good. There is a God. As he starts out, he says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, and he said, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve." And we see the Lord ministering to Moses, ministering in that place where he would speak to him, ministering to him and certainly the people of Israel about the things that were to come, but also ministering to the people of Egypt, to even Pharaoh, to just touch his heart. But it's interesting, as he says this, go unto Pharaoh and speak unto him, let my people go, but there's always a phrase after it, that my people may come and serve me. And that's always the place for us. In Matthew 8, it says this in verses 14 and 15, and remember where we are. It says in verse 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, the Lord is healing, the Lord is ministering. They've come and they're settled down in Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. We always get freed up to minister. We get freed up from our own condition of our own heart to minister to others. Certainly not here for ourselves. She got up immediately and not sat down in a chair in a recliner, kicked up her feet and said, okay, somebody bring me food, I'm ready. She gets up and starts serving. And isn't that what the Lord has for us? Not to just be settled in so much introverted that everything's about us, but everything is about us once we get freed up to go and serve somebody else, to go and minister. And when he saves us, that's the same thing. It isn't just so that we can kick back and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for heaven and just wait for the rapture. We don't get on the white sheets and go up on a mountain somewhere and just sit and wait for the Lord to come. We go and minister to the world that's around us. And it's always, we're freed up to serve. And just such a blessing to be able to do that the Lord would include us in allowing us and giving us a privilege to serve. That is just so amazing. And we serve in so many different ways. Saw it yesterday from the door being opened for folks, for an umbrella out there, for parking, for food being on the tables and just being replenished, and for helping people out and finding out where the bathrooms were and getting drinks and everything else. There was just so much serving going on. It was just so sweet. I just got so encouraged. It was just like, okay, I can keep going now. And it was just wonderful just to see all of that going on. In so many hearts just being in that place, but Lord, free us to serve. But he doesn't stop with it to do it once, does he? This is a continuous, ongoing thing that's going to go on. And sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get upset because things aren't going quick enough. But he hasn't called us to just sit back then, but to keep going. And certainly in the days that we're in, we need wisdom in how to be in these days, because we've never been here before. The world is going crazy, but things are getting set because God has an order of things. And it was interesting looking at some of the news last night and this morning just to see that Saudi Arabia and Jordan shot down a lot of the drones and did a lot of the interceptions of those missiles that were coming in. And we know Saudi Arabia in the last day is going to be neutral. They don't want Iran taken over because some of them are Shiites, some of them are Sunnis, and they are at odds with each other. And Saudi Arabia doesn't want Iran to come because they know that they'll come in and take over Saudi Arabia too. And so they're helping out. We're seeing things, the players come into place, and we're getting ready. In the trumpet, I wanted to bring out the shofar this morning and just blow it in the hallway and see how many people looked up. I don't know. It would have been sweet, but it just to be in that place. Lord, help us to be ready, but help us to serve while we're waiting. Help us to be in that place. And we look at this and we go, Lord, there's so much more going on than we see on the pages. There's so much more going on that's happening with people's hearts and lives, because the Lord is not only ministering to Moses, because remember, he was a stutterer and he didn't want to talk, and he wanted his brother to talk for him. And then he ends up later just doing most of the talking anyway. But we see so much going on. The people of Israel are in that place, and they want to come out of Egypt. They're tired of bondage. They're tired of slavery. They're tired of doing those things. They want to be out, and they want their own nation. And the Lord is going to raise them up to do that. But look at how he's getting them ready and preparing them to do it, not by encouraging, but sometimes by disappointment. And sometimes by disappointment, we see the greater need, that we see that we need Jesus even more. Lord, you told us that we're going to be free, and yet it seems like we're in more bondage than ever. And they've seen miracles. They've seen the Lord do miracles in that place, and yet it hasn't saved them. It hasn't brought them to a place of complete obedience to the things of the Lord. And it scares us sometimes, the places that our minds and our hearts can go to, that just say, okay, I'm content, I'm satisfied of where I am. And that's scary, because the thoughts that we have and the things that are going to go on in our hearts and our minds can define what's going to happen in the future with us. Because we see Israel come out of Egypt, and I know I'm getting way ahead in Scripture here, but I think it's really important for the days that we're in that we look at that, because the Lord is calling the church to wake up and to arise and to get ready, because things are happening. But as Israel comes out of Egypt, what happens with a lot of them is that their thoughts never leave Egypt. Their minds, their thought life, the things that are going on never leave Egypt. And we see it because later on we're going to see them say to Moses, we want another leader because we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to being the way that we were. We want to have the thoughts that we used to have, and we don't care about the thoughts of the future. He's changing Moses' mind and changing his heart, because you'd never hear him talk about the things that happened when he was back with Pharaoh, the schooling that he had and the parties that he was invited to and the royalty that he was involved with. Certainly it had an effect on his life, but you see his mind being shaped by the things that were coming rather than the things that were. And for you and I, sometimes our past rules our present and our future, and it defines who we are. And I don't want to be defined by what I used to be. I want to be defined by what Jesus wants to make me. And I think the Lord is calling the church to that place to do that, because we've all had hard lives. We've all had hard situations. But that shouldn't define who we are right now. I'm a child of God, and he's freed me to serve in a different way than I used to. And I don't want to be like one of the Israelites that came out of bondage going towards the promised land, and to stop and say, enough already, I want to go back. And that would be so sad. And yet we see a lot of the church in that place. And sometimes we can see our own hearts in that place. I don't want to go any further with you, Lord. It's too hard. It hurts too much to see how you do it. Because remember, the people of Israel were going through hard things because they were going through the same plagues right now that Egypt was going through. Well, God, if you really love me, this would be different. And so, Lord, if I'm no different than the things that are going on in the world, then why would I want you? I'm just going to go back. And that's scary, because we're defining God to be like us instead of us being like God. And you can pray for me, because I don't want my heart to be in that place. Because how can I minister to you, and how can I have the Lord minister to my heart in the Word if I just want to go so far with him and then stop? And that's scary, because the world certainly has an effect on us. We see it. We start getting worried, and our age defines us too, because we start realizing that we're limited, that we're hemmed in a sense. Lord, what can I do about this? He goes, you can trust me. Because if I can bring you through all your life so far, can I bring you even further and get you to the end? Just, oh, do we trust him? And he always puts us in that place. But notice, Moses doesn't go anywhere without the Lord telling him, Lord, help us to trust you. to continually look to you. We're never going to come to a place where we've arrived and we don't need the Lord's presence in our lives anymore. Lord, help me to go further. Help me to go on. Let my people go that they may come and serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I'm going to smite all your borders with frogs. Wonderful. Who would have thought? I mean, in your wildest dreams, after you got saved and you started reading scripture, did you think that God Almighty would come to people that were going to hold his people in bondage and say, hey, if you don't let them go, frogs are coming? Really? You can't think of anything better than that, Lord? But the things that he's doing is coming against all the gods of Egypt. Because one of the gods of Egypt was this woman named Hekt, H-E-C-K-T or something like that. And she had the body of a woman and the head of a frog. But she was one of the gods because the frogs would take care of the bugs that were along the Nile River and it would keep them away from the crops. And so they made a god out of the frogs. We will make a god out of anything in our lives that pleases us and helps us instead of looking to the true and the risen Christ. And it's just, oh, Lord, if I can make a god out of this. But the trouble is, we make our gods out of something that benefits us and helps us instead of looking to the true God that wants to deliver us. We want to stay in the same place that we are without going further. But God wants to move us further, and he shows us that you want a God like this, then this God is going to rule you and define who you are. But I want to change you. I want to make you different. I want to show you how far you can go on from where you are. And so he says, I'm going to smite your border with frogs. And the Lord never does anything the way that we think. Well, God, if I was you, let me help you, God. I'll show you how to get rid of these people around us. He goes, no, I'm going to do it my way. No, 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 no. This is not a Frank Sinatra thing. I want to do it. I want to have you. I want to help you, Lord, because I'm good at this. I wouldn't change my life this way, Lord. I'd change my life another way. And he goes, oh, well, how about you let me be God and you be you instead of you being God and wanting me to be like you? Oh, his ways are never our ways. And I'm thankful because my ways never work out. So he says in verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house and into your bedchamber and upon your bed and under the house of your servants and upon your people and into your ovens. Wouldn't that be great, ladies? Frog legs right in your oven. All you have to do is turn on the oven, right? And under your kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon your people and upon all of your servants. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, say unto Aaron, stretch forth your hand with the rod. Remember the rod that Aaron had. Stretch forth your rod, Aaron. This place where the miracles were going to come from, stretch forth your rod, what you have in your hand, and it, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up out of the land of Egypt. Can you imagine watching this as all of a sudden out of the river, just this wave of frog? And I wonder if they were like bullfrogs, you know, and croaked a lot. My mind is a little wacky, so you got to help me with this. But just, you look at this wave of frog just coming up. And it wasn't Jeremiah the bullfrog. I don't think they named him. This was just a wave of frogs that would just come up and come over them. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. So Pharaoh gets his men involved in it, even though the frogs are all over the place. Pharaoh doesn't cry out to Moses. He gets his magicians and says, hey, let's do something here. Let's have a program that we can do something and see how powerful this God is, because we're just as powerful as God Almighty. So the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. And if you read that and you just blow by it, you're missing something, because he didn't tell his magicians to get rid of the frogs. they can cause them to come, but they can't get rid of it. Oh, that means there's only one that can do that. And Pharaoh knew enough to go to Moses and say, tell your God, entreat your God, beg your God to get rid of these frogs, because I can't and my people can't. Oh, we can cause destruction to come upon the earth, but we can't bring healing to it. There's only one that can bring healing in a life. And it's not a program. It's not another educational service that we can hand out. It's God. Our government, our laws, our leaders have been so lost. We can get programs, but we can't heal. We can tell you how to get better and to sustain yourself in the midst of it, but we can't heal you. We can't bring comfort to your life. There's only one that can do that. And the world has to call out to God for that. Why not just start with him? And what have we done in America? We've gotten rid of God. Tear down the Ten Commandments. Get rid of God in school. Get rid of the prayers in school. I remember being in school and on the announcements in the morning over the loudspeaker, they'd pray. Wild. And what have we done now? Oh, we can't pray because we don't know what God we're praying to. And we don't want to pray to your God because that's trouble. So we'll just dismiss everything and we'll be God. Oops, trouble is happening. So entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let your people go that they may do sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? I'll get rid of the frogs and they'll just stay in the rivers. But when do you want me to do it? Isn't that an amazing question? Because look at yourself. Lord, when do you want me to change my life? As the Lord looks at us and goes, how soon do you want me to change you? How soon would you like me to change your heart and your mind? How soon would you like me to bring comfort to your life? And if we're like Pharaoh, what does he say? Tomorrow. Really? If I had frogs in my bed, in my oven, in my fridge, on the floor, on the couch, I wouldn't say tomorrow. How about now? Why would you want to wait till tomorrow unless you're so egotistical and thinking you're so all-powerful that you control when things are going to happen? And what's he doing? He's saying to God, I'll control it. Make it tomorrow. I can't do it, but I want to show you how powerful I am. Don't do it till tomorrow. Oh, how sad. When would you like to get saved? Tomorrow. Really? Randy was talking before service about he was building an ark, and he wanted to know if anybody wanted to come in. I'll wait 120 years in one day, and then I'll come in. Trouble is, it was only 120 days, and then it started raining. Are we going to wait too long? And just thinking about the service for Tom yesterday, just so many hearts just in that place of just agreeing with the Word of God. But just to look out and see some hearts just saying, no more. Don't talk to me. And that was so hard. The heart just broke because they didn't want Jesus yesterday. We want to wait. Don't do it to me now. I'll have to change my life. I'll have to change my thoughts. I'll have to change my direction. Not now. I want to be like I am now. Really? You want to be in a world that hates you? You want to be in a place where bombs are going off? You want to be in a country, even in America, where there's sleeper cells all over America right now just waiting to get a call to wake up? We think we're safe. We think we're safe even in Rochester. Talking to one of our friends, and he used to be with the police force. I wasn't talking with him, but a friend of his. And for the eclipse that just happened this past Monday, they caught a guy the week before. They arrested him, and the FBI is now involved. He had 10 pipe bombs already made, and he was going to go around and plant them like the Boston Marathoner guys that planted the pipe bombs and had them go off when the people were going by. He was going to do that on the day of the eclipse in Rochester. You think you're safe? Well, it won't happen to me. Really? How safe are you going to be? We're not safe without the Lord. It's only him. We're not safe. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the God that does. And he said in verse 10, tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be too late. And he said, be it according to thy word. And you may us know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. You may control the timing, but the Lord our God controls when it's going to happen. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, from your people, and they shall remain in the river only. How do you get rid of all of them except for the ones in the rivers? A little pinpointing thing going on here. This is amazing. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs that he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. The Lord may get rid of the sin, but sometimes the sin remains and stinks, doesn't it? And I know I have results in my life of my sinful past that still remain as a stench in my life. As people look at me and go, I remember what you did to me. I remember what you said about me. The things that we did in our past is still a stench, but the Lord is faithful to get rid of those things in our lives as we're born again. He washes those things away, and he can bring healing to us about it. They stink. And our sin does stink, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if we're alive in Christ and dead in him, our sin in the past still stinks. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not to them as the Lord had said. The Lord already told Moses what was going to go on. And we do the same things, don't we? We see an issue in our life, and what's the first thing that we do? God help. I got this problem, and I need help. And then there's a respite, and we go, oh, well, maybe it wasn't the Lord. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was just the pizza I had yesterday. Ah, okay. I'm okay now. I don't need your help, Lord. And the world does that too. They come and they cry out to God, God, I need your help, but I still want the ways of the world in my life. So as soon as there's a respite, we'll just leave. We'll stop reading. We'll stop praying. We'll stop going to church because now there's a respite. I don't need you as much as I used to, Lord. Oh, that's a sad thing because I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I see I need the Lord more than I ever used to because I can't do anything right. Don't look at Kath because she's shaking her head. Yes, I can't do anything right. All I can do is what's dumb and wrong, but the Lord can show me the right way. I need him more now than ever. And I see it more and more. And so the Lord says unto Moses in verse 16, say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod and smite the dust of the land. So now we're going to see that there's no warning for Pharaoh. The Lord is just telling Moses, go out and do this next one. Let's see what happens with Pharaoh about this. So stretch out your rod, smite the dust of the land. And what was going on was that there was this god named Geb. G-E-B, who was the god of the soil. So out of the lice, out of the dirt of the earth, we're going to come all this lice. Yeah. Smite the dust. I might have been in favor of voting for the frogs, and I don't know. Frogs might be better than lice. I don't know. Stretch out your rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So I'm going to come against your God that you have here, Pharaoh, and let's see what your God can do for you now. And the Lord continues to test them. Do you trust me now, or do you still trust the God that you have? Do you trust me now, or are you still trusting in your IRA? Do you trust me now, or are you still trusting in your strength that you're still able to work and still able to do stuff? I can do it, Lord. I don't need it. Oh, every God that we have, the Lord is going to test us with to show us that we can't do it, that our gods can't do it. He is the only God, the only one and true God. And they did so in verse 17, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. That's a lot of lice. I don't know what the plural of lice is, but lices is, but whatever it is, it's too many. And isn't it amazing? Is you just sit there and think of all the plagues that have come upon America. And one of the last ones was all the bed bugs. Remember when that was such a huge thing and they came out with all these products to get rid of bed bugs for you? It just, really? And you wonder, God, are you doing something in America? Are you doing something to show us that we haven't got it all together? Verse 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they couldn't do it. Oh, and so we see a change in things. The Lord will let the world think that they can do the same thing that God does till it comes to a point, and then he says, no more. Now you're going to see who I am for real, that you can cry out to me. And the grace is that he's still giving them an opportunity to cry out to him, because he hasn't killed them yet. He hasn't destroyed them yet. He's brought things against them, but hasn't destroyed them. That's grace, that God is saying, I'm going to still give you a chance to cry out to me. But we read in Scripture that God is not always going to strive with man. And there's going to come a day, just like there was with Noah, when the door of the ark is closed and God closes the door on heaven and says, no more. Oh, how awful for those who have ignored the Lord and pushed against him and said, no more, Lord, we don't want you. We want the world. Oh, they tried their enchantments and they couldn't do it. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. And then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Really? His sorcerers who are getting paid to be these gods to them, all of a sudden can't do what God does. And we read about it through Scripture that it isn't just in this place. It's in other places. Remember in Daniel, I think it's chapter 5, when he's talking to Belshazzar, and the finger of God writes on the wall, the finger of God. Remember in the Gospels, where Jesus, when they bring him the woman caught in adultery, and he stoops down and with his finger writes in the dust of the earth, the finger of God. They go, oh, all these things that are happening, Lord, your finger is able to minister to people in that place. Because each time we see the finger of God happening, we see that God is working and God is speaking to his people and to the unbelievers. And we see a lot of them walking away like they did with Jesus as he wrote in the dust. And many believe that he was writing the sins of the people that were before him. And they walked away. Didn't repent, but they walked away and just left the woman caught in adultery. We see the Babylonians. When the finger of God came, there wasn't repentance. And instead, the Medes and the Persians overtook Babylon. Oh. And we see the finger of God working here. And yet we don't see repentance. We just see a continuation in a different direction for them instead of coming to the things of the Lord. And that's so sad. Don't go so long in your sin as you see the finger of God working in your life that you just push it aside and just say, well, this is just a natural thing. I'm just going to push away and not let God speak to me. Oh, Lord, give us those soft hearts, those tender hearts that'll just let you speak to us, whether it's by the written word, the finger of God writing to us, the visions, the miracles, the word of God just ministering to our hearts in that place. They couldn't do it. This is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, just like in so many other places, and he hearkened not unto them. As the Lord had said, the Lord said that he wasn't going to come to that place of just allowing God to be God and letting them go. And so in verse 20 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Ugh, really, again, Lord, you want me to go to him again? The people of Israel are getting mad at me because every time I go before Pharaoh, it gets harder on them. It's just, this is not an easy thing. And that's when you know that you're in the perfect will of God, is if you can stand before the evil of the world and still be able to stand without quaking in your own shoes, saying, well, the people of Israel are mad at me, the people of Egypt are mad at me, I'm the only one. But if you're in the perfect will of God, you can stand before the evil that's before you. But if you've come to a place of just giving in, you're not going to be able to do that. That's why he tells us in Ephesians, when you've done everything else and put on the whole armor of God, stand, because you're going to be all by yourself. Because you're not going to stand in somebody else's armor. Saul tried to do that with David, and David took it off and said, I can't use yours. I've got to use what God has given me. And our armor is different for each and every one of us. It's the same things. We're protecting our minds and our hearts in our loins, in our legs and our feet and everything else, but it's perfectly made for each and every one of us. We have to put it on. We have to allow God to use it in our lives, and then we can stand. And if you don't get it on, you're not going to stand. You know how many people have left the Christian church because they just can't handle what God is bringing into the world anymore, and fear has taken over. We have churches that still aren't open from COVID. They're still doing live streams. And live stream is wonderful. Thank the Lord for it. But it doesn't take the place of assembling ourselves together. And yet, how many people are still afraid? I still see people driving around. And poor Diane for her husband and her brother-in-law, that she needs to have that and to protect them, and she's doing it for them. But you look at the world, and what have we caused in the world to bring this upon ourselves? Our sin has just brought this in. And now we look for ways to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones. But boy, how hard is that? And why have we allowed so much sin to come in that this is commonplace? And now the World Economic Forum is talking about the next pandemic that's coming. It's going to be 20 times worse than COVID. How do they know? Hello. But we can't let fear rule us. We can use those things to protect, and we can put on the armor and do those things. But Lord, help us to have your heart first. Show us what your heart is. Show us what your ways are, so that we can stand before the evil of this world and say, this is what's going on. My God is stronger. Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, and here it is again, that they may serve me. Let them go so they can serve me. Be freed up so they can serve me. Instead of serving the ways of the world, they can serve the true and the living God. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I'm going to send swarms of flies upon you and upon your servants and upon your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of the swarms of flies, and also on the ground whereon they are. That is so awful. Because sometimes the world thinks, well, I can close out the things around me by just sequestering myself, by just becoming a hermit in my own place. And the Lord shows that your own place isn't safe, because I'm going to bring them into your houses. That's what he did with the frogs, with the lice, now with the swarms of flies. There's no place that's safe except in the Lord. Oh. And I will sever in that day. And here comes another change. And this is a wonderful change. This is something that's great for them. And he says this to them, that I'm going to sever that day the land of Goshen, which is where Israel is, that my people may dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there to the end, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in all the earth. I'm doing this so the world can see that I'm God. Oh. And it's wonderful. One thing about the funeral yesterday, I love doing Christian funerals because they're so wonderful, because you can rejoice, because you know where that person is. You know that they trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you know they're saved. You know they're born again. You know they're in heaven. And you just rejoice in that. And the people are able to rejoice. But you see in the people who don't know Jesus a fear, because they know one day they're going to be in that place. Where am I going to go? And that's one thing about religion. It never gives you a satisfaction of knowing that you're his. Relationship gives you an assurance that you have eternity with Jesus. Religion can't do that. Man's ways can never do that. Only that relationship with Jesus can do that. They don't know where to go, and they don't know how they're going to get there. And that's just so sweet. And it's so wonderful to have. But it says this in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. It says, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Not that we're going to be away from the influence of the world or the things of the world, because we're always going to be in the world until we go home to heaven. But we can be different. There's going to be a difference between believers and unbelievers. And just like yesterday with the funeral, you saw the believers and you saw some unbelievers that just couldn't believe the things of the Lord. And we see it in the world. Don't talk to me about Jesus. We see it in the news. You radical people that are Christians, you're a terrorist threat to America. You're going to destroy America because of what you bring in. Here we are trying to bring salvation, and they're saying that we're terrorists and we just want to destroy their fun and destroy them. We're trying to get them to heaven. Isn't Moses doing the same thing? He's trying to get Pharaoh in Egypt, get him to heaven, and they're saying, no, we don't want your God. Oh, there's nothing new under the sun. We see the enemy trying to destroy Israel. We see the Antichrist of the time, Pharaoh, trying to destroy all the male babies. And we see God trying to deliver them to salvation. There's nothing new under the sun. But the Lord just wants them to know that he's God and he's in the world. Ugh. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Redemption is going to come. And the Lord did so. So now we see the difference of the things, the plagues that were going to come from now on were not going to affect Israel as the Lord protects them. And we look and go, God, can you protect me as much as you protected them? Oh, do we trust our God to keep us? And the Lord did so, and there came a very grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses, into all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. I don't know about you, but I hate flies landing on me in the summer when you're sitting outside and those stupid flies come because you know where they've been. And just, oh, get away from me. And you try and swat them and you can never hit the stupid things. And you just, ah, everything is going on. You feel corrupted, don't you? You feel dirty. And it's just awful. And here they are. But how does God do it? How does God create the flies and yet keep them out of Goshen and keep them contained in one area? It just shows me that the Lord has control over every single thing in the world. Oh, you can trust him because nobody else could do it. The enchanters, the sorcerers couldn't create it, couldn't control it, couldn't get rid of it, but God can control it to a point where they just stay in one area. Oh, Jesus, when he's coming into Jerusalem to be proclaimed as king the week before his crucifixion, he went on the foal of a donkey who had never been ridden on before. I don't know if any of you grew up on farms where you tried riding something that had never been ridden before. They do not like you. They will do everything they can to get rid of you. And yet this animal was so satisfied with Jesus being on him and with him that he allowed him to stay there and didn't try and kick him off. He has control even over the animals, the things of the world. He has control over every part of the world. And if he can control all the world, can he control the things that are going on in your life and my life? And if things are being allowed into your life, they're there for your good so that you can trust him, so that you can minister to those that are around you, so that you can be free of fear of those things and minister to those that are around you. And that's such a wonderful thing to be able to trust God like that, isn't it? And that's just a maturity in Christ as you make that decision. I'm following God no matter what's going on in the world. I'm going to follow him. And so these flies come all over the place. And it says in verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses. Isn't it amazing that the world knows who to call to get rid of things, to help out? I remember when I first went to one of the stores, I was with Wegmans for 22 years in 11 different stores. And I would always carry my Bible once I got saved. For the first few years, I wasn't saved. But after I got saved, I started taking my Bible in to work every day. And the people, even though they laughed at me, there was some that would come up to me on the sly, of course, because you can't do it in front of the whole store because then you'd be deemed as some weakling. But they would come up to me and say, please pray for me because my wife is sick. Please pray for me because my mom is dying. And you go, okay, I'll pray with you now. No, you pray, I'll just go. They didn't want to be seen bowing their heads and praying with a radical Christian guy, but they knew who to come to get help. Even though they didn't want it themselves, they wanted it enough because they knew that God was real. And it's just amazing. Pharaoh knows who to call. He calls Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to God, to your God. Notice it's not his God, your God, to your God in the land. Where does he tell him to go? In the land. Is that what God told Moses to do? He told him to go 3 days' journey out of the land. What is Pharaoh trying to do? He's trying to get Moses to compromise. Isn't that what the enemy of your soul always wants to do? He wants to get you to compromise God's word. It doesn't matter the words that you say. You can say them. You got rights. But sometimes God wants to separate us from the things of the world so much to a point that it encourages us and encourages those people around us to realize something's changed. Something's different. They're not going to compromise in any part. And so Moses said in verse 26, it's not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, and he shall command us. Back in Genesis, remember when they first came into the land, when they came to see Joseph, when the family of Jacob came in, he said, we need a separate place. Why? Because they were shepherds, and they were an abomination to the Egyptians. And if they start slaughtering sheep in their land, it would cause them to rise up and kill the Israelites, because it was an abomination to them to do so. With all the things they had going on, they still had standards. And the world has standards, right? Some have standards that are different than others. Going in the jails early on when I was in the jail ministry, there was prisoners who would hate other prisoners because even though I murdered somebody, you did something else. And I hate you for it because I have a different standard than you have. It was amazing to me. You're all in jail because y'all did something wrong, but you got standards that are different than somebody else's, so you're better than they are because you didn't do what they did. But you're still in the same jail. Hello? Do you get this? No. Isn't that what the world is doing? That's what Pharaoh is doing. I've got different standards. We have different standards, but you have to perform and you have to come into our way rather than your way, but our standards are different than yours. But God has a standard that's separate from all the world. And his standard is Jesus, his righteousness. He wants his people to be holy and right before him. Father, help us to be holy. And help us not to compromise by saying, okay, well, we'll sacrifice in the land. He said, no, the Lord told us 3 days. The Lord told us 3 days. The Lord told us not to do that. The Lord told me not to say those words. The Lord told me not to bring that into my house. The Lord has told me not to let that enter into my mind and my heart. Lord, I don't want to do that. So Lord, help me with it. Help me not to compromise in any way. And the world needs to see that there's not compromise. There's so much compromise in the church. We look just like the world. We're just a social club with a church name on it, with a cross. God isn't there. Help us not to compromise, Lord. It's funny, when my mom was getting older, Dad had died, and I was talking with my mom, and some guy had proposed to her in the nursing home that she was in, and he wanted her to come and live with him, because, of course, at that age, the tax breaks would be better if you were alone rather than married or something. And it was just, he just wanted her to come live with her. And she goes, no. Why would I want to do that? It's just, we're dirty old men all the way through. ladies, be careful. But just compromise with me. We're at a different age. We're at a different time of life. We're in a different season. We don't have much time. Compromise. No, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to give in to that. I want to stay holy before you, Lord, because you've called me to be holy. Help me not to watch that show on TV, Lord, because it's doing me absolutely no good. Help me not to compromise, Lord. Why would I enter into that place with the stuff I have to sell when I don't want to even be near that place any other time? Lord, help me not to compromise. You'll take care of me. You'll show me how to do it. We shall go 3 days' journey. Verse 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat me. He's starting to beg him. Please, Moses, don't go too far away. Isn't that what the world says? Don't go too far away. We still want you. And folks, if we don't know God's love, we're going to think that the world's love is okay, because the world is always going to be there to help us. And if the church won't do it, the world will. The world's very close to calling the church and say, just be like us. Just allow this to go on in your church, and then you'll be okay. You can meet in church, just don't sing, which is what they were doing during COVID, weren't they? Just don't sing. You can meet, just don't praise the Lord. Don't pray. Do this, but don't do that. God says, no. Don't go very far away. And Moses said, I will go out from you, and I'll entreat the Lord that he take the swarms of flies away to depart from Pharaoh and from his servants, from his people tomorrow. Notice he says, this time tomorrow. He doesn't ask Pharaoh when. He just says, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Just like he wanted with the frogs, I'll do it with the flies. You can have flies for one more night all over your body, Pharaoh. See how it feels. Ugh. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And so Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people, and there remained not one. Does God know where every single one of his animals are? Yes, he does. And if he knows that much detail, can he take care of your details? Oh. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. And what is he saying also? By not letting the people go, because what did Moses say to Pharaoh each time? Let my people go that they may serve me. What does Pharaoh say? I'm not going to let them go so that they can't serve you. That's what the world wants to do. It wants to box you up so that you can't serve the Lord. Father, help us that no matter what, we'll serve you and not serve the things of this world. Help us with it, Lord, because we need you. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, and forgive me for the longness of speaking, Lord, just to help your people's hearts. Just to be in that place where they'd let you speak to them about the things that we have in our lives. Lord, the things that you want to speak to us about, the things in our own lives that maybe you want us to get rid of, the things in our own lives maybe that you want to change, the things in our own lives that maybe you just have told us once and we want to compromise it and shorten it up so it won't be so long. But Lord, help us to be faithful to you and not to the ways of the world. Help us to seek those things that are above and not those things that are here on the earth. And Lord, if we've got swarms of things around us, Father, help us to seek you and entreat you that those things would go away, that we might be free. And Lord, we know that you want to free us so that we can serve you. So help us with that, Lord. Help us not to let the things of our own hearts and minds define who we are in this world. Let your word define who we are. Lord, may our love for you define who we are. Help us, Lord, with it. We need you. We know that you want us. You want us whole before you. And there's only one place where there's healing and freedom, and it's in you, Lord. So help us with that. Help us not to be caught up and tied up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come this morning just thankful that you love us, Lord, thankful that you're still speaking in grace and mercy and love to us, and Father, encouraging us and strengthening us for the days that we're in, the days that are ahead for us. We thank you for it, Lord, and we hold in our hands these tokens that just show us your proof of your love, that you would come and minister to us in that way by dying for us, by having your body broken, your blood poured out, that we could have forgiveness, that we could be free from those things that hold us in bondage here in this world. And we're just so thankful, Father, as we come to you, just rejoicing in you, just pouring out our hearts to you and asking for your help in these days that we're in, Lord. We need your strength. We need your help. And we thank you, Lord, that you've provided it. And as we take these tokens, we remember, Lord, all that you've done. And we just rejoice in it. So have your way with us, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We ask for your touch upon us, Lord, that you'd free us so that we can serve you in your glory, however you have for us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.